Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to the Spice of Life on Keep It Spicy Network. A spice is a description of your personality. Spices of Life are a blend of three unique spices, sweet basil, paprika, and seasonal, certified at keeping it real. And I am Big Dad Harris.
I am the Boss Lady.
And I am Dr. Fab.
How are you tonight, Boss Lady?
I'm doing just wonderful, Big Daddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. The weather great. I feel good, and looking for a good show tonight.
Okay, well, since I'm in a great weather our way, because it's been raining every day over here, so I'm looking forward to a sunny evening for throughout the entire weekend. So, how are you tonight, Dr. Fabs?
Hey, the Boss Lady. Dr. Fab is doing absolutely fabulous. I am
wonderful.
Absorbing, not melting from all of this rain, but
okay.
Sugar melts in the rain, Big Daddy.
That's what I heard. So if you go outside, you need to get in the cup. Step in a bag or something, baby.
I can hear you doing good. It's good to talk to you.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good to talk to y'all as well because I've been busy this week, had a lot going on, and there's so much going on so fast, you know, and you just got to take it all in, you know, when you can.
Right.
We'll speak on that a little bit more at the end of the show.
Okay, cool.
But the spices are doing great. So let's get this show started. Tonight's show topic is use what you got to get what you want. Success made simple. And we got our special guest to be joining us here in a little bit. One of our number one callers, faithful callers, and we do appreciate him as well, Mr. Michael Winston. So he'll be joining us here shortly. So he got some great information for everybody. I hope everybody get their papers and pens out and so they can take notes and be a part of this solution that he has for you.
Wonderful.
So, Boss Lady, let me ask you, so we can get this conversation started a little bit. What is your thoughts on the show topic tonight?
Well, when you told me the show topic, use what you have to get, use what you got to get what you want, success made simple, I thought it was a very great show topic. I think that a lot of people are walking around unconscious of the different tools and assets that they have within themselves, so I think that this show is going to be very good for helping people overseeing that they have to tap into what they already have in order to continue to progress or to move forward. So I thought it was going to be a hot show. I'm just ready to hear what our special guest has to say.
Okay. And Dr. Fabs?
Thanks, Big Daddy. I actually had a sense of humor about it. I thought about Diana from the Players Club. How they convinced her that she would make better money stripping, and by saying use what you got to get what you want. So that is the humor that I saw in the often used cliche that can very much be misinterpreted easily. So I think that this is a great show topic that will cover a wide range of how people perceive or what their interpretation of certain cliches are. So I'm excited.
Yes.
Definitely.
Right. You know, so many times we as people, we are, if we're not where we should be at the time we think we should be there, we get frustrated or might be looking at our friends because our friends so far ahead of us. Or you might have been, you know, it might have been children came in your life. Or you might have had some type of obstacle in your life where you had to stop school or whatever. And it makes you feel like you're behind. But really, you're not behind. You just had some, you know, you can't judge yourself according to others, you know, and their success. So you just got to keep on. Don't get sidetracked and be too hard on yourself. Sometimes we be standing our own way. So I can hardly wait till we get Mike on the line so he can speak on this. So
all right,
like
well, go ahead. What you
want to say today? No, you go ahead because I'll just finish. Everything on up. Go ahead, Coach.
All right. I was about to say, earning a college degree is quite an accomplishment. Completing such a feat shows great tenacity and persistence. But some people have found a love of wisdom that they'd like to spend their life sharing with others. At the age of 23, Michael Weston joined a financial services firm and was given a copy of Rhonda Byrne's film, The Secret, a movie that prompted his quest for a championship life. He is a people connoisseur, a people expert, whose mission is to use social intelligence to solve social problems through his trademark, No Problem, All Solution. With over countless hours of research and personal experience, he is ready to pepper up education and reveal to humanity their inherent worth to the world. Michael Weston.
Exactly. You're listening to The Spice of Life on Keep It Spicy Network. Tonight's show topic is use what you got to get what you want. So we bringing Mr. Michael Weston in at this time.
Okay, give me just a second. I'm sorry. My apologies, boss. My computer is down.
I got it.
Okay.
Mike?
Good evening, boss lady. Good evening, Big Daddy. Good evening, Dr. Fab. Thanks for having me this evening.
Great evening.
It's our pleasure, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Mike,
you know, yeah, I'm here. I'm just doing my best to stay poised and focus on being candid yet loving tonight with the audience and you all, so I could just give you guys you know, the best that I've got, you know, as Anita Baker would say.
Okay.
Well, Mike, we're gonna go ahead and get started then. I want to ask you, how does Michael Weston, define success?
Well, I define success as simply the confidence to do you while serving others. And the do you part is basically meant to say that, you know, we all have a set of priorities, things that we that are truly important to us. We invest whatever resources we have on the fulfillment of those priorities. And whenever we're doing them, we're most inspired and we're fulfilled. And that is pretty much, you know, how I define success. Is that, you know, that plain, that simple. Just do, as you know, as the old saying goes, do you, or as the cliche goes, do you. When people say, you know, I'm doing me, then, you know, to me that means, you know, I'm doing what I find is important at the moment, or what I love to do, or what gives me a sense of enjoyment.
Okay. Well, Michael, I'm sorry, Big Daddy, were you about to say something?
No, I just like I was just like the answer that he gave.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That being said, I say that all the time. I do want to ask you, Mike, what would you like for our listening audience to know about success?
The things I like everybody to know about success are, you know, you've been a success in the past, you're a success right now, and you will continue to be a success because, you know, deep down inside in your spirit, your being and your soul lies, you know, is a you know, deep desire to, you know, fulfill one's purpose and live out one's values that, you know, carry you to daily and long term goals that you just want to do. It just comes to you. And like I said, you've done this as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. You did it now, and you're gonna continue to do it until until your legs no longer carry you.
Okay.
I could expand on. No, I'm good. I'm good. I could take the next question. I answered it.
Okay. Hey, Mike. Can you explain your tagline, known problem or solution, please?
Sure. Well, first of all, just a bit piece on how I came up with it. I would just be chatting with people over Facebook or just, you know, interacting with people when I'm just out and about in public, and, you know, they would say thank you, and, you know, usually when, you know, somebody says thank you, they say no problem. But, you know, me, I just had the creative juices going one day, and you know, I just started saying, you know, no problem, all solution, and as I kept using it, you know, I started to, you know, to kind of, you know, give it a sudden twist, and
uh-huh.
You know what, I'm like, you know, this is a phrase I could use to basically, you know, help myself and help other people create breakthroughs that are, you know, that will help them, you know, get over, you know, certain quote unquote humps in life, period. Whether that, you know, that's in the career area of life or social area of life, financial area, whatever, you know. No problem, all solution. You have something that's an issue, and you know we take steps. We just basically ask questions, and we just start getting answers based on those questions. And the whole thing is, you know, all, or as they say in the personal development field, that aha moment. And once you have that all, you know, hence the term all solution, mm-hmm. because you know all. You know, oh, okay, I see how I can fix this now, and let me come up with the solution, and bam, that's it. It's a trademark, and it's a methodology for helping people, like I said, create breakthroughs by asking quality questions, because, you know, there's an old saying that the quality of your life depends on the quality of questions you ask.
Well, I thought that was really hot, because every time you called in, I always thought you were saying no N-O problem, A-L-L solution. So now when I saw it on Facebook and I read your bio, your intro, and when you speak about it, I'm like, oh, that's even hotter.
Yeah, it originally was that way, but I decided to put my twist on it, Boss Lady, because, you know,
okay.
In the area of marketing, it's all about differentiation. So that's
right.
How that came up.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That was,
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. K-N-O-W.
Exactly. K-N-O-W, no problem, solution. So I see what you're saying. Once you know the problem, then you can ask the proper questions in order to have that aha moment, in order to come up with a solution or to determine the best solution for the problem.
Right.
Okay.
I like it.
I like it too. I like it even better once I've seen it, Mike.
Yeah.
I like it even better.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, why aren't most people successful?
Well, you know, to a lot of people's surprises, you know, a lot of people are not successful because, you know, as Jay-Z would say, you know, their Achilles heels, they're not real. That's the first reason. And, you know, they're trying to live someone else's success. And then the third reason is, you know, they're living a live one-sidedness. And, you know, to kind of expound on each point is that when you continue to set goals and you set somebody else's priorities, you experience what my mentor, Dr. DeMartini, calls the ABCDs of negativity, which is anger and aggression, blame and feelings of betrayal, criticism and challenge, and feelings of depression and despair. And you start to engage in these self-defeating behaviors. And then as for number two, you know, living a life, living someone else's success, you know, we tend to, you know, see, you know, a famous actor or athlete or whatever, or anybody that's quote-unquote famous, and we, you know, we just inject their value system into us instead of having the confidence enough to admit that what they have, we also have inside of us. We just have it in a different form because we all are unique, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But whenever we just, you know, just in such all Michael Jordan, all Kobe Bryant, or all Beyonce, or all Oprah Winfrey, you know, we forget about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, one last point, you know, when I say living a live one-sidedness, you know, I've noticed even at times in my own life, I would be, you know, have certain frustrations and disappointments because I was looking for more pleasure than pain. I was looking for more support and challenge, and I was looking for more ease than difficulty. When the reality of life is the combination of both, and when something is really important to us, you all, we are able to go through the challenge as well as the support, the difficulty as well as the ease. When I'm at that gym on Sunday and Tuesday and Thursdays, since we are keeping it spicy, it's an absolute bitch some days. It really is. But I love being in shape. I love looking at my abs. I love looking at, you know, at my toned muscles, you know, when I'm just, you know, looking in the mirror or whatever, brushing my teeth. So I'll go through it.
Right.
Because I know it's only temporary, and working out and staying in shape is connected to things that are truly important to me.
I think that I agree with you, first of all, with what you're saying. I think that even in relationships or whatever, if you're in a relationship and that person really means something to you, a lot of times you compromise on things or you go through and do things that you wouldn't normally do. And I agree with you on that.
You are definitely a spider because you opened up a can of worms with that one. And I've, oh my goodness, this is a big one I've seen, you know, all over Facebook when it comes to relationships. A lot of times, it's not always that that it's time for a quote unquote breakup. A lot of times what I've noticed is that the person starts off in a state of infatuation. You know, once again, they see more positive than negative, they see more pleasure than pain, and they see more support than challenge, and they're not aware of, like I said, the combination of both challenge and support and pleasure and pain, that the minute the person, you know, starts to do something that contradicts their values, you know, they become resentful. And that's an unbalanced perspective. You know, just based on what I've come to, you know, learn and observe myself. But when you realize, once again, that there's a combination of both, people are always going to, you know, people are going to be, you know, positive, They're going to have their negative as well as their positive, and that both parts, you know, serve, then we're able to make our decisions with a lot more poise and a lot more calm instead of being so irrational.
Right. I think when people realize that they themselves are both positive and negative, then I think that'll help them to deal with certain situations going forward instead of always giving an outside source your power. You do understand that you have the power within you to be both positive and negative. So
exactly.
I think that
and
a lot of people need to realize that.
Yeah, and both sides serve. You
right.
know, I remember, you know, just, you know, thinking about you guys, the presentation, I think it was Dr. Fab's presentation on insecurity. I admitted to you guys that I was insecure about things. I'm insecure about things that are low on my value list, but I am fine with that now because I have the knowledge to know that my insecurity is serving me and ever greater numbers of people. So I'm totally okay with it. If I just know that if I use it wisely, I'll be me and everybody else in the world are gonna be A-okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts on failure, Mike?
Man, you know, one is gonna happen. It's inevitable. I've played baseball. I don't really play it anymore. I still, you know, love to watch it or whatever. And you know, if the batter fails 70% of the time, they're excellent. They're not just good. They're excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be in position to make millions of dollars and have
right.
and have a career for at least. I'm saying at least 10 years, at least, maybe longer.
Yeah.
So, that's an example I like to use when dealing with failure, but just to know it's inevitable. But once again, it all goes back to priorities and values. If something is really important, that failure don't matter. You keep on. I know a guy, he said he didn't even think he failed. He said, man, I just found 9,999 ways of what didn't work. And you want to know what, after all these years later, what they have with him? It's called Commonwealth Edison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
the man's
an
icon. And another point I just wanted to make is, you know, if you persist, you know, through the temporary failure, then that shows that something you're really engaged in is important to you. If you say fuck it, you know, I quit, then, you know, that's fine too, but it just lets you know that what you was engaged in wasn't really important to you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great point. You know, I just read something that said some talk to you in their free time and some free their time to talk to you. So my point is, based on what you just said, Michael, you're going to put in the time for something that you want.
Yeah. And, you know, let me say this about failure and success. Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. So you can't give up because you fail. Because you're going to fail. That means you can just try again. And just because you're successful don't mean you're going to be successful all the time.
Exactly. I mean, I'm telling you, I spend, you know, countless hours just, you know, just whether it's, you know, a documentary, reading a book, or just even, you know, even reflecting on people that I, you know, already know about. And people would not believe, you know, some of the failures that they've had. You know, for example, today I'm reading a biography on a former New York Yankee. He's a recently retired, Derek Jeter, and it was just like, you know, wow, like, you know, people thought this low of him? I mean, he's getting all, he got all type of crap, you know, before he actually, you know, got called up to the Yankees and he was in, you know, the minor leagues. He was catching all type of hell, all type of BS, and you know, and even had you know, doubts or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, this guy is recently retired and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I mean, you know, that's just one example. History is filled with plenty of others, and I just want the audience to know that, you know, stick with it if you really love it. Stick with it. You may have other, you know, obligations or whatever, but stick with it if it means that much to you. Because at the end, it's gonna pay off, and you know, whether it could be your family, community, your country, the world. Somebody else is gonna benefit from you persisting in things that you really truly enjoy.
Right.
Right.
Start a legacy.
Hmm.
What's that?
I said start a legacy.
I agree. Well, Mike, what are the common denominators among all these successes you have studied so far?
The first one is they invest their energy wisely as well as aggressively. And what I mean by that is, you know, I hear time and time again, you know, you got to work hard. But the thing is that about all the icons is that their work ethic is directed in their area, in their specific talent or ability. I'm thinking of an example. Somebody like Warren Buffett. You know, people don't really know. You know, I found out one thing about him is that he read every book in the Omaha Public Library on investing by the age of 11, number one. And he just has spent so many hours reading annual reports and basically, you know, looking at companies' information, companies' financial information, that it just became second nature to him. So, you know, once again, just to reiterate, is they invest their energy wisely as well as aggressively. The second thing is some form of negative circumstances or events influenced their drive to what they ultimately accomplished and became. And the biggest example here is that I could think of right now is 50 Cent. You know, a lot of people know 50 Cent was shot 9 times, but 50 Cent, earlier than that, 50 Cent's mom was also murdered, you know, when he was a child. And even going back to when he was shot 9 times, he was originally signed to Columbia Records before that, and once he got shot, Columbia dropped him from the label. But, you know, there's an old saying, you know, see everything is on the way instead of in the way. And I mean, this guy is a prime example, is a living example of that, because instead of being with Columbia, he ends up signing with Aftermath, and he signed with Eminem and Dr. Dre, mm-hmm. and then ultimately just became this, you know, not only this music mogul, but he just became this worldwide brand and someone who doesn't
right.
need music to make a living.
Exactly.
And then the third point that I've noticed is that teamwork made their dream work. And you know, all of these people, they think they, you know, the you know, biggest thing, they biggest myth that people may attach to, you know, to a lot of these, you know, historic figures, is that they, you know, they were a lone ranger. That is far from the truth. They had a mentor, they had, you know, four or five, you know, they had a coach or somebody. You know, when I think about this point, I can't help but, you know, being in Chicago, think about Michael Jordan and what he went through before, you know, he would eventually win 6 championships. Because before that, you know, the Detroit Pistons had just gave him hell. You know, it was almost like, are we going to ever beat Detroit? You know, but it took a coach by the name of Phil Jackson, probably the greatest team leader, sports team leader of our generation, to you know, get Michael to buy into the team concept and say, you know, you got to trust in these other guys. And ultimately, you know, not just Michael Jordan bought in, but Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal bought in. Because the guy has 11 championships.
Right.
But going back to Michael Jordan, he really had to, you know, buy into the team concept. And once he did, he accomplished what he ultimately became, what he wanted to accomplish in basketball, which was winning championships.
Right. Quite successful at it.
Right. And I was gonna add, you know, because this is fact. Another example of someone was, you know, the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, I mean, today there are so many different ways that we see, we think, you know, people are millionaires, have reached some form of success. You know, what is labeled as success, I mean, you know, you don't always have to have a college degree to be successful and or a millionaire. So, I mean, to each his own, this is the spices of life. And, you know, the most important thing is, like you said, Boss Lady, at the top of the show, you know, people need to exercise their powers to master whatever it is that they're good at, because and you can't let anybody tell you that, you know, your dreams, just because they see you working at Krispy Kreme today, you know, people's lives change in no time, in a day. So that same person working at Krispy Kreme may be, you know, a great fashion designer. I mean, anything. I mean, it's just the opportunities are endless. So, yeah, Michael, your success yourself.
Yeah. You know, the most successful people in the world had a plan B. So many people are not doing what they went to school for, what they dream about doing when they was young. They had a plan. They got a plan B, and that's how they became successful.
Well, I know I've had plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Okay.
And Dr. Favre,
exactly.
Good at all of
them. Well, exactly, and that's.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just gonna say, you know, that's just the way, you know, the way it is. I mean, if you do something that don't work, you do something else. That don't work, you do something else. You keep on trying. I've listened to Tony Robbins one time, and he said one person was, you know, told him, you know, oh, Tony, I've tried millions. He said millions. Name them. He couldn't name them. He said, I've tried thousands. He said, thousands? Name them. He said he couldn't name them. He said, I've tried hundreds. Hundreds? Hundreds of things. Name them. And he said they finally admit they only really tried one thing. And
yeah,
they quit after.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, all right, go ahead with the next question. I'm ready, bro.
Okay. What is the mission of No Problem, All Solution?
Well, the mission of No Problem, All Solution is to simply use social intelligence to solve social problems for individuals and or groups. I feel that, you know, there's just, you know, an area, you know, their area, maybe areas, you know, hopefully it's not, you know, not too many areas, but we'll stay alert on that. But anyway, that, you know, people are just, you know, just not, you know, not empowering at a particular moment in their life. So what I plan to do is to basically be as real and practical about getting people to, you know, to just, put the rational mind on, so to speak, and just solve their problems from a level of social intelligence, you know, as opposed to just hanging on to this victim mentality. You know, the biggest example I could think of is people who may not be quote unquote happy in a particular career or job, and you know, the ultimate thing, you know, that I want to get across to people is the fact that that you can change it. You know, I think that there's a process, there's a step. Nothing happens overnight, but you know, if we can, you know, work together and see, really look at some of the things that you're probably not doing to be fulfilled, which is at the very least being grateful for whatever career or job you have at that moment, you know, that start point. But just to kind of sum it up, it's really to get you to see the boss, you know, your particular boss or yourself, or just the economic world in general in a realistic light, so that you know you can proceed. That's it.
Hopefully I wasn't too much. I apologize. No, I just want you to continue to elaborate on that a little bit further and tell us how can your trademark No Problems, All Solutions be used to achieve financial success?
Well, the way that No Problem, All Solution can be used to achieve financial success is first, we take a look at the priorities people have in their financial area of life, you know, and, you know, that's kind of going to lead me into my, my 9-part questionnaire a bit. I'm just going on that part. So I would begin to ask them, you know, when your life necessities are paid for, because, you know, I think that that's a given, you know, any people with basic intelligence don't take care of the basics. Mm-hmm. You know, so after your life's necessities are taken care of, what are you spending your money on? You know, if you spending money after life necessities on shoes and clothes and I'm talking about designer shoes, designer clothes. Let me put that in there. You know, designer clothes, designer shoes. You know, consistently, and you're talking about, you know, you want to have, you know, financial independence, then that's a problem right there, because what you're saying you want versus what you're actually doing is a mismatch. It's not going together. Because people think, you know, Boss Lady, Fab, Dr. Fab, and Big Daddy, they think financial independence and financial freedom is being able to just spend money whenever you want and being able to buy stuff. And that's not what it is. Financial freedom is about saving and investing your money.
Right.
And once you and most people, you know, can't seem to do that, because in reality they don't really have a value, or I'll say they have a very low value on saving and investing their money. But at the very least, if we could link saving and investing our money wisely and managing our expenses, all that unsexy stuff that it takes to be financially independent. Not to say that you can't have any fun with accumulating wealth, but if you do all that unsexy stuff and link it to what's most important to you, then we have potential for financial independence and at least the road to it occurring. But until you come to the realization that you may not be taking the steps you know, towards, you don't even consistently save a portion of your income, then it's not going to happen.
Well, we have a caller on the line.
Okay, go ahead.
We would like to bring the caller in, area code 205-6122. Thank you for calling this evening to the Spices of Life. How are you?
Hi, this is Donald. Hi, guys.
Hi,
hey,
Donald.
Good evening, Donald.
Hey, this is a timely conversation because there's a lot of discussion going on right now between now and next week with the NBA Finals. I'm glad you brought up the Michael Jordan episode, but I'm taking a little step further. I want to know what motivated him to where he is today, and did you use your talents to create your own, become your own leader, or do you allow your own your leadership abilities to be your own person?
You ask me personally?
Yeah.
I consider myself just a natural leader. I am, you know, by default. I mean, I'm born as an only child, and you know, as you know, during childhood, I had a lot of alone time. So I think that, you know, that kind of just gave me that sense of self, and I could always be comfortable with being alone. So I think it's more the latter. What you said, hold on, can you repeat your question once again for me?
There's a lot of dispute between talent and leadership, and sometimes people use their talents to demonstrate leadership, but at the same time don't have good leadership skills to overcome their talents.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think I am both leader, you know, a leader and talent in the areas and things that are most important to me. I don't really see them as separate. You know, pretty much. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that because, you know, we're sticking into the title of the show tonight. You know, I've been that person that, you know, that for probably, you know, for I would say at least maybe the. I'll say at least the last maybe just seven years, I've just really been on a conscious path of using what I got to what I want. I am someone who's really big on the mental area. You know, I'm very big on wisdom. My lifelong goal is to be one of the wisest people in the world. You know, and it shows through my value system. I have books everywhere. I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly studying. You know, every moment for me is just a moment for learning. And I'm able to you know, get a lot of things done. I'm able to solve a lot of problems and you know, serve people using my mind. That's how I make, you know, my mark on this planet Earth. And once again, I don't really see and talent is something that's, you know, that's set from each other, you know, because we have all traits. We are all leaders. We're all talented. We have our own unique form. Mm-hmm. And when we honor that, what's your name again, brother? Donald?
Yeah, Donald, yeah.
And when we honor that, Donald, we set ourselves on fire, and people come from miles and miles away to watch us burn. And that's figuratively, by the way. That's figuratively.
Well, let me tell you,
that's the point that I'm trying to drive home to everybody tonight.
Well, this is where I believe, I think I hang up. If you hang around with people who know how to get where they are, and they did it in the hard way, and they have people to motivate them to be where they are, and I think that's what I think most of our community is lacking, is that most people don't have the motivation to do what they have to do in life. They depend on someone else to become their own motivator. You have to be you. You have to find something to motivate yourself. And I think that's
right.
That's
exactly. Exactly.
That's
and I, you know, one, well, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I would love for you to stay on the show because I'm going to go into something else to kind of show you that. But as you, I hear constantly you're saying the word motivation, and this is another thing I want, you know, I want to teach on tonight. When something is really meaningful to you and you really love something, you don't require motivation. You just, mm-hmm. It's like, as Nike said, you just do it. You know, Thursday, when I woke up out that bed, nobody had to motivate me to have my gym bag packed and have my snacks to get ready to go to the gym. Nobody had to motivate me to meditate once I woke up. Nobody had to motivate me to do my journaling and do my writing. Nobody had to motivate me to be where I'm at on time and be with you guys tonight. No, that's meaningful to me. That's real to me. I love learning. I love teaching. I love sharing information with people. I love giving people tools that's going to empower their life and help them and give them permission to take what they love and use that to serve others. I couldn't see
Let me give an example. We have in our community, which I live in this community, Birmingham, a lack of being, I think people are not motivated, but they feel there's no hope here. That's the underlying struggle that I've seen now. That's a constant struggle between wants to move forward in life versus what I hear on the show on every Thursday, a lack of don't want to, which call afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. And this is what the problems I think we have as a race of people is that sometimes we're worried about failing than we are about moving forward. And to me, the way to move forward, you have to have a vision. And you got to have a vision to, like you just said, you have the passion and the desire to move forward in life. And you can't allow someone else to determine your future or your vision. You have to become your own, I say your own creator. You have to be your own person, like I use myself as a motivator. I have to motivate myself to do things because no one ain't going to do it for you. And that's the difference here. I have to move things on my own. I know people don't want it. I know people, well, you always have a tendency to look down at folks. No, I don't want to look down at people. I want to inspire people because I want to be inspired. Okay. So that's me.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. But, Don, we want you to stay on the line because Michael got a lot of more information that he wants to share. And I think some of the tips that he got later on in the show was bring some clarity on what you think, what you're speaking on.
Okay, I'm on.
Okay.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great call. That was intense because.
But, yeah, real quick, I want to say Michael Jordan was a great talent, but he wasn't good at being a leader. Far as trying to coach or trying to get the team to do this and that, he didn't have great skills on that at all.
Great point.
But especially when he went to Washington. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, Michael, how can no problem or solution be used to achieve a healthy dating single life or even being successful in the mate that you choose?
Well, I would say no problem or solution will help you be successful in your your quote unquote love or romantic life in your love or romantic life. It's first I like to, you know, one, you know, once you start with yourself, you get you get your priorities, you know, clear, you know, once your priorities become clear to you, the objective and the key to a fulfilling relationship, at least in my opinion, is that you find a way to create a caring relationship where all parties involved are getting their, you know, are getting their values fulfilled. There are three types of relationships that I've been learning about. You know, the first type is careless relationship where, you know, you don't give a, you know, I'm keeping it spicy, I'm trying to blend in y'all. You don't give a shit about nobody's values but your own. You know, all about me and fuck everybody else. That's what careless is. The second kind is, you know, careful, where you think the other person's values and what they want is more important than yours. You know, that's gonna lead to disaster too. But the third kind is the caring relationship, and it's similar to you know, it has a concept of selling and marketing to it. You know, when you know people are really sold on something, that just means that the person or the company could get presented their product or service in terms of the values and what's most important to their particular client or customers, and it's the same thing that goes on in the dating and mating game. When you present yourself and you communicate what's important to you in terms of what's important to the other person or the, you know, other people, for all our, you know, non-monogamous people or poly people, you know, that's what, you know, fulfillment is ultimately about. And all I'm presenting, you know, my particular program, No Problem, All Solution, is to one, you know, ask yourself a set of questions that get you clear on your values, and then ask you, how can I use what I want to help me get to help this person get what they want? How can I present myself as the greatest as the best advantage over disadvantage and the greatest reward over risk for this person? So it's just really about, like I said, just there's a whole lot I want to go to once I really, you know, get everything structured. But, you know, really what I would teach in this part about relationships is to just create that sense of, that true sense of equality. You know, not to saying that you all mirror each other, but that you really are creating a relationship dynamic where both people care about each other and both people can be there for each other without abandoning other areas of their life.
Right.
Because that's where I feel, the quote unquote cheating. You know, I have my own thing on cheating, but you know, all that cheating stuff and all that, you know, just all that ratchetness that can occur, you know, from relationships. I feel like, you know, with my methodology, you know, a lot of that stuff is, you know, for lack of a better word, all that stuff gets wiped out.
Okay, well, I would love to hear your thoughts on cheating. Should we save that for another show?
No, well, yeah, I say yeah.
Just guaranteed yourself another slot, brother.
There you go. You're so smooth, boss.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, what is the biggest misconception some people have of success?
One of the biggest misconceptions people have of success, Big Daddy, is that, one, there's a, you know, that it happens by chance or it's from some kind of special gene. You know, I have a book that I constantly refer to. It's called Mastery, and you know, it's basically giving keys of what it takes to really, you know, be just, you know, just a master of a craft. And you know, the people cited in those books, you know, they wasn't just, you know, just blessed with no special gene or something, you know, like that, you know. They just, you know, they just really, you know, tapped into what's most important to them, and, you know, and they just, you know, they had obstacles, as I mentioned before, and they just, you know, so they just really just not just only persisted, but they just, you know, always found ways to just, keep climbing the ladder, so to speak. It never really sort of ended, quote unquote, until maybe like they, you know, maybe they, you know, passed on or something. But other than that, you know, they just kept working. They kept finding problems to solve and really going after things that really interested them and the rest is, you know, the rest is history. And then the last part, last misconception is, you know, that all of, you know, quote unquote successes are, you know, are just, you know, as I the sports analogy I'm using is that they're batting 1,000 or, you know, they're perfect. You know, they're not. And once you know that, you don't place them on pedestals or you don't place them in a pit. You just place them in your heart and own all the, you know, all the positive and negative traits that, you know, that they have. And I think that's the biggest, you know, the biggest thing that goes on in our society when it comes to celebrities, you know. Hey, these are people, you know, people capable, you know, capable of being, you know, saints and sinners. You know, but once you understand that, you know, you have all the traits that, you know, that you're in awe of, and you have all the traits that, you know, that you despise, then you just become grateful and you become loving and you just be poised instead of just having all these, you know, just unbalanced, you know, emotions and reactions to, you know, to events that you hear about, which is a big reason why I just, you know, keep about a million feet away from the news. But that's the two biggest misconceptions I discovered to answer your question.
Okay. Well, Mike, what is one of the biggest successes that has influenced your life?
Ooh, man, thank you for asking that question. I think the biggest success that I have is not directly, is kind of indirect and have to deal with my mother. Next month, I think it's on the 21st of June, will be my mother's 22nd year of being drug and alcohol free.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, as I was posing the questions, I just really reflected on that and just really, you know, I was so grateful for that boss lady, Big Daddy, Dr. Fab, because, you know, my mother would tell me all the time. She said your grandmother was gonna try to get you from me, and I'd be like, oh man, thank God you got it together, Mama, because I love my grandmother, you know, God bless her soul, but I'm just so grateful that that my mother, you know, really got enrolled and got help, because I really feel like I might have missed out on some of the key components to my development, which was one of them was attending an all male high school. You know, I had kind of issues with it at first, like maybe my sophomore year, but you know, as I reflect on that experience also, you know, my high school experience really, you know, really shaped my manhood, you know, considering that I didn't have a biological father, but since school is a place where we spend most of our hours of the day, you know, from at least until we 18, you know, unless we decide to, you know, really pursue college or whatever, you know, that's where we spend most of our time throughout the day. And, you know, just the influences that I have, you know, from my teachers and principals and deans and stuff, is really a blessing. And I am so grateful that my mother, you know, one, she you know, once again, she decided to, you know, get herself some help and really pursue the drug and alcohol free life as a lifestyle, because she still attends those AA meetings because it's that important to her. But, you know, like I said, I'm grateful for it, because, you know, I feel like that's something that kept my mother in my life, and it really was a key component in my personal development and in my education. So that's, like I said, that's one. Her success, you know, had an influence on me, and it her decision, you know, changed, you know, had a positive influence on my life. And that's just one thing.
Wow.
Hope I explained that in detail.
Yes, great. Yeah. That was a great story. Thank you for sharing.
Really. I have one more question, Michael.
Tell us about
It Ain't Where You're From, It's Where You're At.
Oh, sure. It ain't where you're from, where you're at is a nine part questionnaire that I came up with to get people to really get clear on what is most important to them. And I found, you know, once you answer these questions, you start really finding out what's true to you. So the first question, as I mentioned before, when your life's necessities are paid for, you know, what do you love to spend your money on? You know, for me, it's intellectual property, books, seminars, you know, magazines, or whatever. And so whenever, you know, the basics, whenever my food, my roof over my head, you know, my base, my communication, you know, that's taken care of. You know, I like to order me a book, or I like to, you know, order me a magazine, or I attend a seminar. As a matter of fact, I'm intending to attend a public talk next month with one of the teachers from The Secret, Dr. John DeMartini, next month here in Chicago.
Wow.
So that should be exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to meeting him, just really hearing him live, as opposed to his books and DVDs. So the next question that I have is, who are three historical figures, living or passed on, whom you love to have dinner with? And for me, it's my grandfather, my mother's biological father, whom I only met once, and pretty much what the resonance that has, that my grandfather taught math, and he was a basketball coach in Arkansas, and I just really feel like, you know, education and teaching is in my genes, and I would just love to just have a chance to talk with him, and I would have, you know, just love to have a chance to talk with him and just, you know, get his thoughts on, you know, what he think about, you know, teaching people, and what he thinks about, you know, being an entrepreneur, because he was also a farmer also. So that's one person. The second person is the gentleman that I just, you know, mentioned to you. His name is Dr. John DeMartini. He's having a big influence on me, and he was one of the, like I said, he's one of the teachers featured in the Secret, and you know, he's someone who is basically teaching me and mentoring me on all the things I'm sharing with you tonight, and I really wanted to get that across tonight, if not briefly, because I feel it's important for, you know, for people claiming to be experts to let, you know, to let their students or the audience know, you know, who taught them. So that's another person. And then the last person, you know, she was in the Secret also. And her name is Esther Hicks, and she's better known as this this entity, this alter ego, so to speak, known as Abraham. And you know, she does a lot of work with the law of attraction. You know, originally it was her and her husband who published the books, but her husband Jerry passed in 2011. So I think it's all seminars and DVDs for her now. I don't know if there's any more books she intends to have, but she's another person that I like to have dinner with, just to kind of really, you know, have that experience and really, you know, really, you know, just have, you know, just learn from her live. So those are the three people to see. I'll take a question.
I think those are great choices, and I think that a lot, like, you making me reflect, like, really, I feel like I need to take some time and sit down and think about who I would love to have dinner with, whether they're still here and passed on, and why I thought that was hot. I do want to ask you about The Secret. A lot of our callers, or some of our callers, may not know when you say The Secret. Like, could you tell us what The Secret is and how we could go about finding more information? Can we watch it? Is it something we need to read? Like, what is The Secret? What is it that you're talking about?
The Secret was a book and a DVD that mm-hmm. was put out by a lady the name of Rhonda Byrne. And what she did was she took all the all the people in the personal development field and from different fields and got them all together to put their thoughts down, you know, in book form, but also to contribute, you know, to the movie version of this film, The Secret, which basically was about the law of attraction. And what that film did is just made the law of attraction mainstream. And
right.
It really people may not agree, but it kind of commercialized the law of attraction. But I feel like that, you know, my personal opinion on that is that the fact if people just, you know, just thought that they were going to get everything from maybe like a 90 minute or 2 hour DVD, then that's on them. As in my
right.
case, I got a copy of the DVD, and mm-hmm. once I first watched it, I was just like, you know, that it was just this child, you know, this childlike wonder that took. I'm like, law of attraction. What's this? You know, what's mm-hmm. this about? So it led me to, you know, to the works of Esther Hicks. You know, it led me to the Law of Attraction books. I have three of her books.
Okay.
And you know, with Dr. DeMartini, I have a DVD of his called Where's My Billion? And then I have his latest book, The Value Factor. I have another book he has called How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven. You know, that's like mm-hmm. I've invested in that book, and that book has been responsible for so much of my, you know, financial success so far. It's amazing. And and like I said, I look forward to attending his public talk here next month in Chicago. So, you know, that's
okay.
what The Secret did. That's what The Secret did for me. That's my testimony for it.
Right. I admit, when I first watched it, it went completely over my head a couple of years ago. I watched it, and I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix, but I saw it. I watched it on Netflix for anybody who's in the listening audience that may want to check it out. Yeah, it went over my head.
If you ask me to let people know how they can watch, you can just go on YouTube and type it in. I don't know if you'll get it all, but I think you get enough.
Okay.
Amen.
Now I see it from a completely different perspective. Now I get it. But when I first watched it, I didn't get it. But as I become more conscious and I have an understanding of what's really going on, so now I get it. And it's hot. I think if you're on the line and you're curious about it, you should really check it out. And I'm happy you you actually introduced that to our audience, Michael. Thank you.
No problem. All solutions. So, Big, you got any questions? Dr. Fab, any questions before I go to the third?
No, I'm good, Mike.
Okay. So the third question is, you know, what are three activities you are challenged by, but you still do them, you still engage in them, and for me, it's pretty simple with me. It's exercising, learning, and teaching. You know, I find those three activities challenging, but yet I still love to do them because I'm just, you know, like I'm just inspired to, you know, to keep my body in the best shape I can, and I'm inspired to learn as much as I can about any aspect that had me growing in any of the seven areas of life, and I'm inspired to, you know, to teach people and to share, you know, any sort of information.
Mm-hmm.
But they can be challenging at times. But, hey, that's life.
Yeah.
Number four is what topics do you view yourself as a PhD in? you know, because all of us, I feel like all of us, is, you know, we may not have the formal degree or the title, but all of us is a PhD in something. So for me, it's baseball, personal development, and the social sciences, and it's
that's right.
Oh, particularly it's sociology, which I got my Bachelor of Arts in, and then it's also psychology. So, you know, those are three topics that I consider myself a PhD in, and you know, you can list at least three things that, you know, you view yourself as a PhD in. And so number five, you know, what are your top three? Oh, my bad. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We have a caller on the line. You would like to take another caller, please?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Caller 773-1164. You're on the Spices of Life.
Good evening. I just called in. I'm catching in the middle of the topic. So I'm just listening right now. By the way, Dr. Fab, this is Carl Lee Thorpe. I figured I'd call in and listen tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Carl, for calling in. You know I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back, okay?
Fine, that's fine, thanks.
Okay. Have a safe trip driving home. I hear you on the road.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, my bad. You know, my bad, Dr. Fab. I didn't. We
You're
good?
Fine, baby. Go ahead.
All right. The next question is, you know, what are your top three pet peeves? For me, it's basically authoritarians, you know, dictator, Hitler types. Number two is stupidity. And then three, you know, I just, you know, just people who are just, you know, just think they could just, you know, tyrants. People think that they could just, you know, treat you any old kind of way, just, you know, just because they can. You know, those are three pet peeves to me. And those three things are really, you know, really shape, you know, my drive for the things that I go after day in and day out, because one of the things that I just can't stand is feeling like, you know, it's just being told, you know, told what to do in this, you know, just this kind of slave type kind of way. So I just don't like that kind of stuff. And once you discover your top three pet peeves, it'll give you some hint on what's most important to you also.
Right.
Number six, what TV programs or movies are the most, you know, most memorable to you? You know, right now for me it's Shark Tank, it's any type of sporting event. And then for me the last one is the only reality show that I do watch called Gigolos, which is a reality show that's based on based on
yeah, I looked at that.
What's that?
I check that out sometimes, Diglo.
Yeah, oh, I'm missing it. I need to find it. How can I find it?
I think if you have I know I have I catch it on demand or when it airs on Showtime. But
okay.
they have I know that the new season is supposed to be coming any time now, but if you have I don't know who your cable subscriber is, but if you have Comcast, you could, you know, usually it's on demand if you have the premium package.
Gotcha. I'm gonna check that out, thank you.
I know some of this prosperity just because I just did a huge plug for them. But anyway. So those are my three memorable TV programs and movies. So moving on to number seven, you know, what are some of your most frequent conversations about with yourself? And, you know, just, you know, I'm using myself as an example to just kind of walk you through this. And for me, it's the performance of my sports team or the particular the player on that team. Number two is something I learned from, you know, from the people I listen to, whether it's, you know, Dr. DeMartini, Esther Hicks, or whatever, I mean, whoever. And then number three is just living my purpose of having a championship life. That's what I talk to myself about is, you know, what area, you know, am I looking to empower the day in? And I just go after it. So, you know, those three things will let you know something too. So just kind of moving on with this. Number eight is, what are three events you consider to be the most significant of your life so far? And for me it was getting shot is one of them, and getting shot. Hold on, let me look through my notes. I'm so sorry.
That's okay, you're fine.
Three events I consider to be the most significant in my life. I'm just gonna get to one right now, and that's getting shot. 3 years ago, I was outside with some neighbors, and all of a sudden, I just, you know, shooting occurred, and to make a long story short, I got hit trying to get back to the house. And, you know, that's a significant event for me because it just woke me up to, you know, the needs of my community and basically not my community but of my neighborhood and basically, basically seeing how I could use whatever talent I have to kinda fix the situation. Because, you know, it was something that really woke me up, and it could have been a lot worse. So afterwards, I just kind of started seeing the social aspect of you know, my environment and just the city I live in overall, and, you know, and it really woke me up to, you know, to what goes on in Chicago sometimes. Sorry, guys, I didn't get that other part. Well, you list three events of what you consider to be the most significant of your life so far. It'll reveal something else that's more important to you. And I do apologize for not giving you the other two. And the last question is, how do you want people to remember you once you pass on? And I can answer that one. And in three words, I want people to say, you know, I won't put on my headstone, if I have one, is one wise soul, because that's how I define my life. It's just basically about wisdom and learning and applying whatever information I pick up to better any aspect of my life. And if the whole point of this questionnaire is to discover common denominators within your answers. If you see things that keep appearing, you know, in your answers, then that lets you know where your priorities really are. and you, what you want to do is you want to stay in that lane, as they say. And once you do that, everything else is gonna really, you know, just become a lot clearer for you. Not that you won't have challenges, but things will be a lot clearer for you, and you'll be able to just have more fulfillment. You'll be a lot more grateful, and you know, you can, you know, continue to have the success that you've been having.
Will you be willing to post those questions in the Facebook event for our listeners and our callers?
Sure, I can. Where would you like me to send them?
In the event where we set up the Facebook event, if you would just post them in there, just do a post and post all 9 of them. I think it was 9. If you just post them in there, then everybody who was invited to that event, whether they're on the line tonight or not, they will have an opportunity to go back and see the question.
Right.
Cool.
And
thank you.
That's a great question, boss. And you said 2 words that resonates with me in both.
That's 3.
No, I'm saying two
words. Oh, my
bad.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Dr. Fab.
That's okay, baby. I was that I live by. I live by the third one too, but passion and fulfilling. You know, you cannot. People that are. That do not have passion in anything, we just cannot get along. And when you said fulfilled, I have to be fulfilled in both aspects of my life, again, personal and professional, and those 2 elements really, you have the people, you ultimately have the power within yourself to be a success. Those 2 traits, they are transparent within themselves, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to you, Mike?
It definitely does. I mean, I don't look at it as no one finite or absolute thing. I definitely think you're someone that's qualified and credible to speak on. You know, speak on success. So, I mean, whatever perspective that, you know, you take from it is all right with me. You know, nothing that you said is flawed. So, hey.
Well, I think that's one of the dynamics of us getting to know each other, Michael, is I see that within you. I don't necessarily just see it. I see that you really, really you live in it. You dwell in it. You lay in it. You know, you sleep. You probably sleeping about, you know, in your when you're sleeping, you probably thinking the whole time. So, I mean, I'm really, really honored to have come in contact with you, and I always tell you this, I believe in you, and it's been a pleasure having you on the show tonight.
Definitely.
It's a pleasure being here, and I hope that what I've, you know, spoken on tonight has served in some type of way, and I intend on doing better next time.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, at this time, you know, time flying by, so at this time we want you to do some closing remarks with us and let our audience know where they can find you and, you know, what you got coming, what's your,
well,
what is your coming events, what I'm trying to say.
Well, first and first and foremost, I have a website under construction, noproblemallsolution.info. I'm you know, getting everything together to just get it made and really, you know, design the proper way, and that way I could just really, start doing workshops and having all my services listed on my website to where I could, just really do, just go in deeper and serve people more, and just, just really, keep pressing forward on my journey, my entrepreneurial journey, my personal journey, really. So that's the first thing that I wanted to mention. And then number two, people could find me at on Facebook, Michael Weston. You'll see my face, and mutual friends that have Dr. Fab, Boss Lady, and Big Daddy as my three mutual friends. You'll see this big, big cheesy, billion-dollar smile on there. So that'll let you know it's me. But yeah, you just go to Facebook, and you also can find me at Twitter at AWS9. As far as my Twitter account, I know that's a lot, but that's also where you can find me. And then also, you just send me a simple email, man. What you got going on is really private. Even though Facebook can be private too, but you can also reach me at MichaelWeston30@yahoo.com, and that's, like I said, once again, that's my full name, my first and last name combined, and then the numbers 30@yahoo.com.
Sure.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you being on the show tonight. It's been a blast. I got a lot of notes over here too, man.
Oh man, I'm thankful I was able to serve you all. I mean, that's what it really is about, guys. It's about service and just really taking what you love and using that to to serve people, because that's how
right.
that is the first key of being rewarded in any kind of way, whether it's financially, spiritually, whatever, it's service.
Right.
And just one thing, I leave you guys with, there's an old saying, when you do serve, you deserve.
Mm. Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah. But we appreciate it. And at this time we're gonna do our shout outs. Boss Lady, you have any shout outs tonight?
I just want to shout out Michael. This has been a great show, and I'm always talking about, going within, so I'm looking forward to the questions that you asked tonight. I'm looking forward to you posting them on Facebook so I can take a deeper look inside of the Boss Lady. So shout out to you, Michael, for even, just making me think twice about looking at myself. Thank you.
No problem. Absolutely.
I pretty much gave you all of my championship-ness. I love that. I wish we'll be in touch.
All right, we sure will. Thank you.
Okay, once again, we thank you, Mike, for being on the show tonight, and we just a click away, man. On Facebook, telephone, whatever it might be. All you got to do is hit us up. And also, I like to send a shout out to the Pryor family. We lost Terrence Pryor on Monday, a friend of ours. When I say ours, Clarence and Walter and BC, just a great guy. He had a heart attack Monday, and we just want to keep his family and our prayers and send positive energy his way, to his family.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
And at this time, I want to do our food for thought. And
food for thought tonight is success is getting what you want. Happiness is wanting what you get. So to all our listeners and callers, be successful and happy.
Like us on Facebook. I'm sorry, because I was meditating and marinating on what you said. I'm sorry. You can always like us on Facebook. You can like our Spices of Life page, or you can become friends with the fabulous Dr. Fab, and you can follow us on Twitter.
Yes. And I would also like to give another shout out. I'm sorry. I would like to say happy birthday to my friend, Theo. His birthday is this weekend. So I'm looking forward to helping you also celebrate your birthday. And thank you also for listening tonight to the show for the first time. If you would like to be a or you have a spicy show suggestion, email us at talk2spicesoflife@gmail.com.
Okay, and thank you for tuning in tonight to the Spices of Life on Keep It Spicy Network. And always remember, the right seasoning make a world of difference. And I am Big Daddy Ass.
I am the Boss Lady.
And I am Dr. Fab.
Until
great
next
show.
Week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks.
That was
thank
a,
you.
That was a big show, Big Daddy.
Thank you, babe. Big ups, Mike.
I know it. I don't even want to get off the phone. Let's see. Until
see
next week.
Play the music, baby.
I know. I'm looking for it.
Well, sing it. You're not seasoned until you heard the Spices of Life.
I know.
Good night
right?
Again.
The music-